And welcome back to our podcast.
This one's for you, Miss Burns. All right.
Hey, Saskia.
What?
Why are frogs so happy?
Why?
Because they eat whatever bugs them.
It says in our script that I have to fake laugh, but I'm really bad at doing that, so...
Understandable. All right, Saskia, would you like to start us off with a backstory?
Yeah, so in an article posted by Science News for Students, a California college student working at the university laboratory checked up on a group of frogs, and she witnessed some unusual behavior. Some of the frogs were acting like females, and that was unusual because when the experiment began, all the frogs had been males. The student, Mai Nguyen, says she told her boss, "I don't know what's going on, but I don't think this is normal." Nguyen is a student at the University of California, Berkeley. She was working in the laboratory of biologist Tyrone Hayes. And Hayes didn't laugh. Instead, he told Nguyen to keep watching and write down what she saw each day. Nguyen had known that all the frogs started off as males. What she didn't know, however, was that Hayes had added something to the water of the frog tank. That something was a popular weed killer called astaxanthin. So since birth, the frogs had been raised in water that contained the chemical.
He says the experiments in his lab show that 30% of the male frogs that grew up in water with astaxanthin started to behave like females. These frogs even sent out chemical signals to attract other males instead of attracting other females. The chemical is used as a weed killer, so it can pollute surface water downstream of the crops where it has been used. In these rivers and streams, levels of astaxanthin can reach up to 2.5 parts per billion, the same concentration Hayes tested in his laboratory. This suggests that male frogs might be turning into females in their natural habitats.
So it's just males turning into females?
Yes, correct. Males can only change to females, creating a full reproductive system, so they can create more male, but also female, offspring. Posted in an article on genetics.org, Hiroshima frogs can change gender depending on what is present in their habitat. If there are too many males, per se, some of them will turn into females and to allow for more reproduction to occur.
I find it strange that pesticides can change a frog's gender, but we still use them. I'm trying to imagine what else they could do.
Let's not get into that right now. However, did you know that other animals can switch genders too? According to MNN.com, bearded dragons, sea turtles, moray eels, banana slugs, butterflies, fish, birds, coral snakes, and lobsters also have all showed signs of being either transgender or two genders at once.
I know the fish are similar to frogs in the sense that they can both change their gender depending on the fish, or the male to female ratio in their ecosystem.
Yeah, lobsters as well.
Fish undergo a transition period where the slime coat surrounding them softens and the reproductive system is able to change completely.
So basically the fish are just like turning themselves into jelly and then rebuilding the parts so that they turn into something completely different?
Yes, but don't worry. Your goldfish at home won't be changing from speedy to speedita. Only 2% of fish are sexually labile or can change their gender, and these fish usually live in the very depths part of the ocean.
Lobsters are similar to that as well, except lobsters don't turn into jelly. Every couple of months, lobsters shed their exoskeleton and undergo a process called molting. Molting is when a lobster grows, and as you can imagine, is also when a lobster can change its gender. When the lobster molts, it stays dormant for almost a month and can completely change its body structure, gender, and even regrow limbs.
Wow, I didn't know lobsters were shapeshifters.
Well, then you probably didn't know that molting can happen in all crustaceans, bugs, but those ones don't change their gender.
I didn't, but did you know that bearded dragons and green sea turtles, although they are in completely different habitats, have similar ways of changing gender?
Whoa, really?
Yeah, they are both sensitive to heat. When the eggs are laid, there may be few that are male, but in at first, but then change into female because of the warmth. According to a new study, sea turtle hatchlings from beaches near Australia's Great Barrier Reef, where global warming is particularly intense, are now 99.8% female. On cooler beaches in the south, the gender ratio is 65% female to 35% male. While when it comes to bearded dragons, studies show that when warm temperatures occur during egg incubation, male bearded dragons often reverse course and to become females. But it's not a clean switch. They actually remain male genetically, but act and reproduce like females do.
That's really interesting. Now we are going to ask a guest his thoughts and opinions on these topics. Hello, sir. May you state your name?
My name is Will Smell.
Great. First question. How do you feel about animals that can change their gender and how it can almost prove that it's okay in humans?
That is such an interesting question. Before we get started, I just wanted to thank you guys so much for having me on this podcast. It's such an honor to be on such a wonderful podcast with such wonderful people. Now, can you please repeat the question?
How do you feel about animals that can change their gender, and how do you think it almost proves that it's okay in humans?
Oh my gosh, I think that it is so cool that animals can change your gender. Nature and its beauties are just so wonderful and are full of surprises. It's almost just amazing what Mother Nature can do. And I just really also feel like this just proves so well that humans can just do whatever they want and should be accepted for who they are and who they are inside. Because if it's okay for animals and nature that Mother Nature gave them the ability to change gender, it should also be okay for humans to be able to do the same and feel the same.
Next question. Did you know that this many animals could change their gender?
No, I did not. Actually, I knew that frogs could change their gender because I read an article a few months ago about it, but I didn't realize that there are so many other animals like bearded dragons that could go through the same process.
Did you have any knowledge that you would like to share regarding any of these animals that we have mentioned?
Well, not
you
really.
Can also say a story if you want.
A story?
A story about animals changing gender, maybe humans, I don't know.
Well, I feel like a lot of the knowledge I had was already covered in the podcast.
Okay, well, I guess we can move on to the third question. What are your experiences dealing with or handling any of these specific types of animals, especially like crustaceans or bugs?
Well, actually, in my lifetime, I have owned lots of bugs, many including praying mantises specifically. I have owned many different species of praying mantises and have first-handedly experienced the molting process that goes on with these animals. Of course, praying mantises, as earlier stated in this podcast, cannot change their gender in the molting process. I still understand how that molting process works and then can relate it to lobsters.
I also know that you have had a lot of experience with hermit crabs, which are in fact very similar in the molting style and process to lobsters. Would you care to share any knowledge on that?
Yes, I do know a lot about hermit crabs. I actually, in fact, own 5 myself. I do know that they bury underground for about a month. And that's when they really undergo the molting process. And I just really understand it because I've really witnessed it as a first-hand experience.
Have you witnessed any gender switching roles? Have any of your hermit crabs tried to switch to be females?
I have not. I am not sure if hermit crabs can do that, but I would love to learn as this podcast goes on.
Are any of your hermit crabs male, or are they all female, or?
All 5 of them are actually males.
Oh, well, I think that you should start taking notes on them to see if any of their behavior changes, just so you know if any of them become female.
I will. I'll do research and I'll let you know so that when you make a part 2 of this podcast, you will be ready.
We'll send it to you when we're in college, Ms. Burns.
I also know that you have a lot of experience with fish keeping. I do know that you have 7 different fish tanks, and that axolotls are very strange, and you have 2 of those. Do you know anything about gender switching in those specifically, or any of the other fish? Well, I know that axolotls they're very popular in the house, like, animal keeping community. I know they have become very popular pets, but I also know that they were very close to extinction a while ago because scientists would take them into labs because they thought that their slime coat had regenerative properties that would help cure cancer. So people would go out and take them from the wild just so they could harvest the slime coat and do clinical trials on it to see if that it would cure cancer. But in this process, many axolotls were exposed to chemicals that, for example, could give them the properties to grow or metamorphosize themselves and turn into salamanders, even though that they're not technically supposed to actually reach that stage. But it is 100% possible that they could have been exposed to chemicals that could perhaps change their gender if said axolotls experience a situation where one gender is not present. So what about snails? I know that you have some snails and that they can simultaneously exist as both genders but cannot reproduce with themselves and do require another snail to reproduce with them. Any knowledge you would like to share on snails?
Well, actually, the only snails I have are mystery snails, which don't coexist as both genders. They are actually each individually their own gender, so there are males and females. But I do know that if you have a lot of mystery snails, then let's say they're all male, some have the opportunity or chance of changing into females and reproducing with your other male snails.
I'm glad you were able to come on here with us and share some information.
Thank you for coming. Now we're just going to go into a short break.
We're going to listen to some music. Okay, now it's time to transition into talking about transgender humans. Here is a quote from the website sciencedaily.com. Transgenderism is the experience or identification with a gender different to the assigned biological sex, whilst gender dysphoria, GD, is the distress experienced by transgender people and may be present from a very young age. Although GD incidence is rare, gender identity is an essential part of psychological health. If unaddressed, can lead to serious psychological issues. Current strategies for addressing GD in younger people involve psychotherapy or delaying puberty with hormones, so that decisions on transgender therapy can be made at an older age. Genetics and hormones contribute to sex differences in brain development and function that lead to more male or female typical characteristics. However, these processes are not well established. Furthermore, little is known on how early in life or to what extent the gender typical characteristics of transgender people become established. Earlier diagnosis or better understanding of transgenderism could help to improve quality of life for young transgender people and help families to make more informed decisions on treatment.
With how the world is changing, creating a better understanding for how transgenderism actually works could make our modern world even more accepting of all people. Transgenderism is something that is going to show up in your genes like it could any other animal. When a child is growing up, it is natural to experiment with multi-stereotypes that might usually be associated with another sex. This is the time when the brain of an adolescent can make a discovery as to whether they want to be cisgender or not. In most cases, a child will find to be cisgender, but in some cases, they will find that they want to transition. Sometimes the decision to transition doesn't come until later in a person's life, but the feeling of insecurity in their own skin is decided at an early age. Young brains are very feasible and aren't influenced by their peers yet, and therefore can make definite decisions that older brain might not be able to.
The actual process of transitioning from one gender to another is a lot more complex than we might think. According to a study done at Harvard, transgender women tend to have brain structures that resemble cisgender women rather than cisgender men. Two sexually dimorphic, differing between men and women, areas of the brain are often compared between men and women. The bed nucleus of the stria terminalis and sexually dimorphic nucleus of transgender women are more similar to those of cisgender women than to those of cisgender men, suggesting that the general brain structure of these women is in keeping with their gender identity.
So how many people are actually transgender in our modern world?
The study done at Harvard estimated that 0.3% of our current adult population in America is transgender, and that number is even higher in countries with better understandings of transgenders in their rights.
Transgenderism is not something that has come up recently. It has been around for thousands of years. In early human civilization, men would often dress like women and refuse to have children with a woman because they didn't feel like they were meant to be a man. It was only until the 1100s when transgenders were seen as bad people, and still then did people figure out how to be transgender. There are hundreds of counts when women would dress like a man to fight in wars and then continue to dress like a man for the rest of their life. Some even had wives and knew that they were transgenders but wanted to marry them anyway.
Moving into the 1900s, you see more and more transgenders emerging into society. Communities of accepting people start popping up all over the world, making it easier to be transgender in those communities. As it became more common and more accepted, people were able to come out as trans without fear.
In our current modern society, there are other genders that have been given a voice and begin to see the light of day.
Gender fluidity has also emerged. Gender fluidity also allows for people to identify as multiple genders throughout their lifetime.
You might be asking, why so many genders and not just the two? Well, science has shown that the levels of estrogen and testosterone created by the mother in the womb can vary in values, allowing for gender fluctuations. According to the same study done at Harvard, during normal feminization, sufficient estrogen is present in the fetal environment. The estrogen is recognized by fetal cells and triggers the development of a female fetus. In scenario one, very little estrogen is present in the fetal environment. Even though the fetal cells are capable of sensing estrogen, very little enters the fetal environment and the fetus is insufficiently feminized. Scenario two, there is enough estrogen in the fetal environment, but the fetal cells are effectively deaf to the estrogen, and the fetus is insufficiently feminized.
According to the same study, the amount of estrogen in the fetal environment is a little tough to measure, but there appears to be some evidence for transgender individuals having poor hormonal sensitivity in the womb. A team of researchers found that the receptor for estrogen seems to be a little worse at receiving signal in female-to-male transgender men. Think a 2001 flipped phone trying to process photos from Instagram. Thus, the signal doesn't come through as clearly, and the external female fetus ends up more masculinized. And so, while the list of causes for transgender identity continues to grow, it has become quite clear that it is not a cautious choice, similar to what has been described for the reasons behind sexual orientation.
So where do we stand on transgender issues? Science tells us that gender is certainly not binary. It may not even be a linear spectrum. Like many other areas of identity, it can occur on a wide range of levels and can occur outside of many definitions. And it also appears that gender may not be as basic as we assume. In the forefront of this, transgender identity is complex. It's unlikely we'll ever be able to attribute it to one neat, contained set of causes, and there's still much to be learned. But we know now that several of those causes are biological. These people are not suffering a mental illness or purposely choosing a different identity. The transgender identity is multidimensional, but it deserves no less recognition or respect than any other type of human.
We're now going to bring another guest onto our podcast. Do you want to remain anonymous or no? Okay, so she's going to remain anonymous.
Okay, first question. How do you see transgender issues as a problem in our current society?
I see transgender issues as a problem in our current society because people are not accepting the identities of other people.
Where do you stand in with transgenders in the military?
I think if transgender people want to be in the military, then they should be able to be in the military.
More specifically, some people join the military because then the military will pay for their cost of switching genders after they join. What do you think about that aspect of it?
I think that they should maybe join the military because they want to join the military and not necessarily, like, disclose their opinions about, like, or, like, what they're going to do with the money.
So you're saying that they should join the military to join the military, but not if they want to transition?
Yeah.
So the military shouldn't have to pay for a transgender...
For hormone therapy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. How has a transgender person, if any, influenced you in your life? Do you have any transgender role models at all?
No.
All right. How can you see transgenderism as a positive aspect in our country?
It gives, like, a variety to, like, opinions and, like, perspectives in our country.
Nice. And why do you think a transgender person might feel unrepresented?
Because they're, like, discriminated against, and they feel like they don't have the rights they need or want. So.
All right. Okay, thank you.
We're now going to let Will Snell come back onto the podcast to answer the same questions that we asked our other guest. Hey, Will.
Hi.
How do you see transgender issues as a problem in our society?
Well, I don't personally see transgender issues as a problem at all. Transgender people are people, and people deserve to be respected by all other people. I know that there is a certain political party that might not agree too well with transgenders, but that in no way makes them an issue. People are not issues. People with opinions can sometimes be an issue, but transgender are not a problem in our current society.
Okay. Where do you stand in transgenders in the military? Sorry.
I think that any transgender that wants to be in the military should be allowed to be in the military. The military is a place where citizens of America can go and fight for our country. And if a transgender wants to fight for our country, they should be allowed to. The military has to pay for all medical needs that any of its members need, and so having
to pay for transgender's hormone therapy should not have to be a burden for them. There are a lot of people in the military that need medication or insulin very frequently, and the military has no problem paying for that. But when it comes to estrogen or testosterone monthly, it seems to be a big deal. But I think that is completely ridiculous. Yeah.
Okay, thank you. How has a transgender person, if any, influenced you in your life?
Yes, so I actually know 3 transgender people, and all of them are very inspiring people. They have all been through lots and lots of struggles that I just can't even imagine being in their shoes. Like, it's incredible to me to see how far they've come and how much they've done with their life at such a young age. And being a transgender has made it even more inspiring. Yeah.
Okay. How do you see transgenderism as a positive aspect in our community, or our country? Sorry.
So transgenderism can be seen as a positive aspect in our country because it creates diversity. If we didn't have diversity in our country, everyone would just be straight and white. Like, we could not have only straight white people in our country because nothing would get done. We need to have diversity, and having transgender people in our country creates that diversity that we need and that we need to spread, and we need to move, we need to take away from that, that transgender people are benefiting us as a nation.
I definitely agree with that. I definitely think that they help our community and help people see other ways of life, and I think that you definitely have a point there. Last question is, where do you think a transgender person might feel unrepresented?
I think a transgender person might feel unrepresented in a lot of places throughout our country. Mostly in the fashion industry, considering there are very few transgender models, and therefore they don't get the representation they need as a transgender person. Another place where they might feel unrepresented represented is in heavily conservative areas. In heavily conservative areas, they have an idea that transgender people are not necessarily okay, and therefore anybody who's feeling like they need to transition might not feel safe doing so. And with that, that creates a lot of problems for transgender people because they don't feel safe in, let's say, their hometown where they should feel the most safe.
All right. Well, thank you for coming on the podcast again.
Yes, thank you so much, Will. That was really moving.
And this is the end of our podcast. So
thanks, Ms. Burns.
Thanks, Ms. Burns. Please give us an A on this. Bye. Saying she a gold digger, but she ain't messing with no broke. Now I ain't saying she a gold digger, but she ain't messing with no broke. Get down, girl, go ahead, get down. Get down, girl, go ahead, get down. Get down, girl, go ahead, get down. Get down, girl, go ahead. 18 years, she got one of your kids, got you for 18 years. I know somebody paying child support for one of his kids. His baby mama car crib is bigger than his. You will see him on TV any given Sunday. Win a Super Bowl and drive off in a Hyundai. She was supposed to buy your shorty Tyco with your money. She went to the doctor, got lipo with your money. She walk around looking like Michael with your money. Should've got that insured Geico for your money. If you ain't no punk, holla, we want prenup. We want prenup. Yeah. It's something that you need to have. Cause when she leave yo, she gon' leave with half. 18 years, 18 years. And on her 18th birthday, he found out it wasn't his.